listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Today we're going to begin a new series called The Twisted Truth. The Twisted Truth. And in thinking about the truth, there were some movies that came to my mind. And because there are certain movies that just have these iconic scenes that you'll never forget. For instance, there's this movie called A Few Good Men. Anyone ever watch the movie A Few Good Men? If you have, you know exactly where I'm heading with this. Because there's this iconic scene in the movie where Tom Cruise's character, Lieutenant Caffey, is questioning the witness, Colonel Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson. And he point blank asks him in the courtroom, he says, "Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?" You remember this? This is such a great scene. "Did you order the code red?" Now, let me say this to you, okay? Let me preference everything with this. If you go watch this movie, you need to watch the edited version for TV, okay? Okay? There might be a little bit of language in this movie, so I'm warning you. I only watch it when it comes on TBS. That's the only time. So Tom Cruise's character, he asked him, he said, "Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?" And the judge responds and says, "You don't have to answer that question." And Colonel Jessup, Jack Nicholson, he says, "I'll answer the question." He said, "You want answers?" And Caffey says, I'm entitled to them. He said, "You want answers?" He says, "I want the truth." And he yells back at him, "You can't handle the truth." You watch the edited version too, right? That's what I thought. As I reflect on our society, and listen, church, I'm fully aware I'm on a soapbox right now, okay? Just with where society is at, I'm fighting hard for our homes, I'm fighting hard for our children, I'm fighting hard for our grandchildren, okay? And if that truth and the truth that I'm going to preach today bothers you, as much as I love you and as much as I want you to be here and be a part of this, you need to understand the fight that's on my hands right now, that's on our hands right now. And if it bothers you, this might not be the church for you. But I want to challenge you to listen to what I'm talking about today, because I think this is where God wants you. What I'm saying is, you got to get with it. You got to get with the program. You got to realize the fight that we're in right now. Amen? Because as I reflect on society, the questions that keep coming to my mind is, do we really want answers? Do we? We say we do. Do we really want answers? Do we really want the truth? Or better yet, can we handle the truth? Can we handle it? Because I'm not convinced that we can handle the truth. Winston Churchill once said, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened." The truth, church, is our only hope. If we don't get the truth, and if we don't get it soon, this nation is going to crumble. It's going to fall apart. The truth is the only thing that really matters. In John 8 and 32, Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He said the truth is what's going to bring freedom to your life. If the truth is what sets us free, why do you think that Satan wants to twist the truth so badly? Because he knows that there's freedom in the truth. And so he is trying his best to take the truth and twist it just enough to where he can get us off the path that God has for us. If he can twist the truth just enough, he can help us make some adjustments that you won't clearly see at first, but it will become unholy somewhere along the way. In John 4 and 24, Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In truth. Now, the word there, truth, that Jesus used is the same one that he used in John chapter 8. It's the same Greek word that he said, the truth will set you free, and he says you have to worship in spirit and in truth. And it's the Greek word aletheia. And it means truth, but not merely spoken truth. It's truth of an idea. It's truth and morality. It's divine truth revealed to man. So think about this. Jesus said the only way that you can worship God is when you have truth of an idea, truth and morality, divine truth that God has instilled into you, and that truth is what's going to bring freedom in your life. From the beginning of humanity, we have struggled with receiving, comprehending, and believing the truth. We have a hard time with it. And it's not so much that we like being lied to, church. That's not it at all. It's just that we prefer lying to ourselves. When the truth goes against our own personal interests and desires, we accept this twisted truth that leads us away from righteousness. Ultimately, it leads us away from God. And it's all because of personal interests and desires that Satan has painted. He's laid before us. He's made them shiny and bright. And we want that for our lives. You see, it's not wealth and riches that man is so much in search of. It happens. That happens sometimes. But it's ideology. It's what fits best with what I want to do with my life, how I want to live my life, the actions I want to take with my life. What fits best with that? And so I want us to go back to where this whole thing first started. I told them Wednesday night at our Bible study, I said, listen, I'm going to be rereading this because this is important. Genesis chapter 3, I want us to dive into this today, and I want us to look at the first place where truth was twisted. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I always teach this way. I believe this, that if you want to get to the root of a problem, you got to go back to where it started. And so we're going back to the beginning. We're going back to the beginning of humanity. We're going to look at how this thing got twisted and how we fell victim to it then and how we fall victim to it now. So Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden or the middle of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. We tend to look at this as the most crucial mistake in human history. And I understand why, because this was a costly decision. When you think about the actions of Adam and Eve and what they did that day and the consequences that follow, this was a very costly decision. Because of this mistake, now there would be pain during childbirth. That was part of the judgment that came with it. Women, I apologize to you. I hate that this has happened. But that's part of the consequences of this. Now there will be pain during childbirth. He said work will no longer be a joy. It's going to be a chore now. Where at one time work was to bring joy to our lives, now we would not even comprehend it that way. Now it's going to be a chore for us. He said it's not going to be easy for you to produce fruit anymore. I mean, it was just going to grow. You'd pick it. You would eat it. It was going to be so easy, but now it was going to become a task. But probably, church, the greatest price paid because of this mistake was now the human race would have to experience death. We were never intended. We were not created to experience death. Eternal life has always been the plan. It was always God's desire for us to enter into eternal life. But because of this sin, because of this rebellion against God, now the human race would have to experience death. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God says, "By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so he says, you're going to go by way of the grave. That is going to happen. This decision to disobey God exposed how vulnerable we are as it relates to information. Think about that. How vulnerable we are as it relates to information. Satan learned so much about us in this one encounter. Our vulnerability was exposed as it relates to information. Do you remember this game that we used to play called telephone? You remember that? If we were playing telephone here today, I would go over and I would whisper a phrase in your ear that nobody else could hear. And then you would whisper that phrase in his ear, and then in her ear, and then in his, and so on and so on, until you went around the whole room. And it's always amazing that when you get to the end of the game of telephone, when you get to the other side of the room, and the phrase is then shared publicly out loud, it is always different than how it began. And sometimes it has strayed so far away from the original phrase that it's even absurd. Like, it doesn't even make sense to how the phrase began. Now, church, think about this. This game is cute when we are kids, but having a message convoluted in adult, mature situations is pricey. It's like when, as we grow and we mature, we can't afford for messages to be construed. We can't afford for them to not be exactly the way that they're supposed to be. For example, wives, you tell your husband that you need him to stop by the store on the way home to pick up some milk and bread. Instead, he stops by Bass Pro Shop and he buys a lure. In his defense, though, he told you that he was going to stop by Bass Pro Shop on the way home. And he said, please text me what you need from the grocery store because I know I'm going to forget. And sure enough, he forgot. Who's to blame? You see, this game of telephone is the most frustrating, and it's especially frustrating when you call a service provider and you get passed along from person to person on the phone. You ever been there? When we first moved into our neighborhood, we were like the second or third house built in our neighborhood, and AT&T had provided fiber optic service into our neighborhood for internet service. And so I called AT&T, and I was like, this is great. We're going to have fiber optic internet service. You know, this is going to be fantastic. So I called, and they set up a time for them to show up. You know, it's like, we're going to be there on the 2nd between 8 a.m. and the 22nd of the month at 8 p.m., and you just need to be there between that time. You know, so, no, it wasn't that bad, but it was a long stretch during the day, and I was there. Well, they showed up, but they never even came to the door. They never said anything to us, and I didn't have internet service. And so I called the next day, and I was like, well, you know, I don't understand what happened. They were here, but then they were not here, and I still don't have internet service. And they explained to me that, yes, that fiber optic had been run through our neighborhood, but it had not been terminated properly at the end of the line, which was where my house was at. And another technician would have to come out and fix that in order for them to jump off of that into my house. I don't understand anything that I'm telling you right now. All I'm telling you is that this is layman terms that they explained it to me. I said, oh, okay, we're a new neighborhood. That makes sense. We'll put in the work order. We'll send out the proper technician. I didn't hear anything. A week later, I call back. And they said, well, we'll get someone right out. We'll have someone there tomorrow. We'll be there between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. Okay, I'll be there. I took off from work. I was there. I was waiting. No one ever showed up. I called and said, hey, what happened? They were supposed to be here, and they're not here. Well, they had sent the work order back to the first technician. He knew that the other technician had not been out, and so he just didn't even bother to show up, call, or anything. And I'm like, man, this is getting frustrated. Church, I'm not lying to you. I went through this for like 3 weeks. Round and round with AT&T. It was so frustrating to me. And they would send somebody out. They would have the same, you know, observation. It's not ready yet. We've got to send someone else out. And I would love to tell you that your pastor kept his cool. But after I took off work 3 different times to meet someone there and they don't show up, it becomes a little frustrating. So then my conversation changes, like, so who's going to pay me now? Like now you owe me. They don't owe me, but I'm in my mind, they owe me. Like, you need to compensate me. Am I the only one in the room? Somehow, in the middle of all that communication, truth is lost in translation. I mean, they truly, the right hand does not know what the left hand is doing sometimes, and it becomes frustrating. The ability to hear and understand truth has never been one of our greatest attributes. Better yet, The ability to discern misinformation is where we struggle the most. It's the misinformation. It's not always the information, it's the misinformation. The human race hears what we want to hear and we believe what we want to believe as long as it fits our life, our lifestyle, as long as it fits what we want for our lives, that's what we will buy into. And think about it, as it relates to politics, parenting, religion, we form opinions sometimes without even hearing all of the facts. Satan knows this characteristic because it was exposed in the garden at the beginning of humanity. He learned so much about God's new creation in that one encounter. And he knows this information, he knows this characteristic about us, and he uses it to mislead us. And I'm telling you, it is running wild right now in churches across America. And we've got to find the truth, and we've got to cling to the truth. We've got to hold on to the truth, and we've got to preach the truth. I want you to notice how cunning and crafty Satan is. In Genesis chapter 3, let me just kind of walk you through verses 1 through 5 here. Listen to this in verse 1. It says, he said to the woman, Satan said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Now watch what he does. Let's just pause there just for a moment. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? There's the first lie right there. He's already playing head games with her. God specifically told them to eat from all of the trees in the garden. That's what he said. Go back and read it. God gave them permission to eat from all of the trees in the garden except one. God gave them this opportunity, a vast opportunity, eat from all of the trees in the garden except one. And Satan tried to make the commandment larger than what it was, and he always does this. God makes this simple request, this simple commandment. You can have it all. You can have it all, but just not that one. And Satan takes it and he puts that one thing under a magnifying glass and says, look what he's restricting you from. And God makes this request, this simple commandment, if you will, that is ultimately for our own good. But Satan makes it look like religion is trying to hold us back from living a full life. That's the way Satan works. That's the way he's messing with some people right now. Some of you are in this room right now. Some are watching online. He will take that one little thing that God said, you need to hold back from that. It's for your own good. I'm trying to protect you. And he will make it look like people are trying to control your life through religion. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. There's a lie that's camouflaged in the middle of some truth. Okay? God did tell them, don't eat of that tree. And he says, you're not going to die. There's a lie. Verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's some truth there because God was the only one that could comprehend good and evil. You see, I'm convinced, church, that we were never meant to process. We were not created to process what is good and what was evil. It was never up to us to know that. It's the reason why we have such a hard time with forgiveness. It's the reason why we have such a hard time with judgment. We were never supposed to comprehend good and evil. Only a righteous judge, the righteous judge, can deal with that. So instead, he says, why don't you eat of it? Because now you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan told Eve that she would be like God. Now understand this. This is not his gift to give. This is not Satan's gift to give. God had already said in Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. He had already made us in his image. In verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So understand this. We already look like God. We already resemble God. We were made in his image. We were made in his likeness. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can have children that look like you, but they don't know everything that you know. You can have children that are made in your likeness, but they don't know everything that you know. They haven't experienced everything that you've experienced, and they're not meant to. We were made to look like God. We were made in His image and His likeness, but we were never meant to know exactly what God knew. You see, God formed man in His image. Satan was trying to deform humanity into His image. Think about what His image is. Satan sinned against God. Satan rebelled against God, and he just wanted God's most prized creation to do the same. God, if this is the apple of your eye, then I want to ruin what they look like. I don't want them to resemble you. I hate that when I look at them, I see you. When I look at them, I want them to look like me. I want them to look like a liar, a cheat, a murderer. That's what I want to see when I see humanity. That's what Satan was trying to do when he led them through this half truth. That's how he accomplishes it. He led them through a half truth. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil." Oh, by the way, he's talking to religious people when he says this, not sinners. He had a completely different way to talk to sinners. We'll get to that later. "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Church, Satan reprograms humanity through a series of what I call half-truths. Half-truths. Because that conversation in the garden with Eve, there was some truth to the conversation, but there were also some lies in the conversation because he's the father of lies. Let me tell you something about Satan. You can't entertain a conversation with Satan without being lied to. And at the moment you start entertaining a conversation with Satan because it starts making sense, that's not all that bad. I promise you, somewhere in that conversation, you're going to be lied to because a half-truth is still a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. And the fall of humanity didn't happen because they believed this blatant lie. That's not how Satan works. It happened because they fell for a half-truth, the twisted truth. It was a half-truth. And the demise of Christianity is the inability to discern between truths and half-truths. This is where we're at a problem at with Christianity right now. In this day and age that we're living in this modern culture, we have a problem discerning between what is true and what is half-true. And it worked in the beginning, and it works now. Satan destroyed initial life given by God by speaking half-truths, and he's also trying to destroy eternal life given by God by speaking half-truths. So let me tell you what this looks like for your home. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you and your kids and your grandkids of eternal life. That's what he's up to. You want to know what the enemy of your soul is trying to do right now? He's trying to rob you and the generations that follow you. He's trying to rob you of eternal life. Satan is filling theology with half-truths that lead us farther away from God. And a half-gospel is a whole lie. Hear me, church. Listen, you didn't feel it. You didn't even understand it, maybe. But I'm letting you know the most important thing I'm telling you today is that a half gospel is a whole lie. A half gospel is a whole lie. We've got to preach the whole Bible, cover to cover. I'm not separating myself from the Old Testament because it's the Old Testament that is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he did it on our behalf. Therefore, I will glean from the old. I will glean from the new. I will understand Old Testament covenant. And I will hold fast to the New Testament covenant. I know what grace looks like in my own life. But I also know that there are some things that we must do as believers in Christ. There are still things that fall. The responsibility falls on us. I know that we are not saved by our works. I don't want anyone to walk out of this room thinking that I believe that. However, I do believe upon salvation that works will follow. Well, some of you are with me. A half gospel is a whole lie. We can't teach 1 John 4:8 that says that God is love and not teach that God is a righteous judge who will also judge sin. There are churches right now, not far from us, that are preaching God is love and that's all that matters. Yes, God is love. But Romans 14:12 says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. At some point, we're going to stand before that righteous judge and give an account for our lives. God is love is true, but when it's used to try and justify lifestyles, then it becomes a half-truth. And in the same sense, we can't teach that God loves sinners and then treat them with contempt also. I knew it would get a little bit quieter there. You see, some of you like it when I jump over there on your white right wing approach and I camp out over there for a while. And listen, if you know me, I'm very conservative. That's where I'm at. And some of you, you'll amen me, you'll shout at me, you'll preach it as long as I'm way over here. But I also need you to understand, if God is love, then we can't treat sinners with contempt either. Just because their lifestyle doesn't line up with what I believe does not mean that I hate on them. And the church has gotten that wrong for way, way too long. I believe in loving people into the kingdom, but I also believe in preaching the truth of God's word too. I'm going to love them in, but then I'm going to teach them that you're judged by the fruit that you bear. You see, God is love, and salvation is free, but once you're saved, it also produces change. And we've got to walk people through this. And Satan is trying to distort the gospel with half-truths. Half-truths are deliberate attempts to conceal whole truths. And half-truths happen when we subtract half the truth from the whole truth. And that's exactly what Satan did in the beginning, and it's exactly what he's doing right now in churches all across America. Half-truths are infiltrating many churches today, and there are pastors that have abandoned biblical Christianity to adopt worldly philosophies that accept heaven without hell. Hear me. If I'm going to preach heaven, I'm also going to preach hell. Because according to God's word, they're real. We have pastors that are preaching redemption without repentance. I believe in redemption, but I also believe in repenting, turning from our sins. It means to make a 180. You're facing sin, you make a 180, and you go in the other direction. That's what repentance means. And we've got to teach that. We've got pastors that are teaching discipleship without discipline. Pastors that are teaching contentment without Christ. And I'm telling you, I'm not here to preach you happy. I'm not here to preach you into some contentment that makes you feel good when you walk out of the room. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because this is what transforms lives. This is what makes us more like Jesus Christ. And when you walk out of this room, I want all of us looking more like Christ. But the Apostle Paul told a young preacher by the name of Timothy that he was mentoring. He told him that this day was coming. It's like Paul had this ability to look down through the ages and see exactly what we would be facing today. And he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Well, listen to me, church, listen. I am not a hireling. I'm not here to preach you happy. I'm not here to tell you exactly what you want to hear. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole Bible, and I'm here to make sure that we all grow in God's word. That's what's important. And Paul said, Timothy, you need to make sure, because there's people that are looking for teachers that will suit their own passions. Listen, I don't even want to teach what suits my own passions, much less your passions. There's work that needs to be done in the life of Rocky McKinley. Let God's word be applied to my life and make those changes happen in my life. Let me teach God's word with authority and bring changes to your life through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm reminded of this cute little story I heard that the devil was walking around with one of his demons. And they saw a man walking ahead of them, and he bent over, and he picked up something that was shiny. And the demon looked at Satan and said, "What did he pick up?" And Satan said, "Well, he picked up a piece of truth." And the little demon said, "Well, Satan, doesn't that bother you that he found a piece of the truth?" And Satan said, "No, I'll see to it that he makes a religion out of it." This should scare us to death. Half-truths are ruining Christianity as we know it. Half-truths are going to send some of our loved ones to a devil's hell if we don't get control of this. In this series, I'm going to talk to us about how to combat some of these mindsets, how to recognize and see some of these half-truths that the enemy is laying before us. But I feel like it's so important for us to realize that there is a real devil out there that is trying his best to convince us that a half-truth is the whole truth, or that a half-truth is just enough, or that there are things within the Holy Scriptures that were meant for yesterday and not today. I'm telling you, church, we've got to become more educated than that. And if we got kids on our stage that are memorizing the Bible and learning the Bible for a solid 30 days, why don't you think we can do it too? Well, Pastor, give us a plan. Well, just go on the Bible app and download your own plan. Pull up to the table and eat. We need to make sure that we're seeking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because I know the truth. And his name is Jesus. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So right off the bat, let me just tell you, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. All roads don't lead to heaven, and don't let your family buy into that either. It's Jesus. It's his birth. It's his life, it's his death, and it's his resurrection. That is the truth of the gospel, and I'm telling you, that is the only way that you find heaven. It's it. So some of you need to go back into your homes, and you need to start preaching the truth with love, but you need to be decisive on this. You need to know what you know. And you need to start leading your family that it's Jesus. It's not if you're a good person. It's not all roads lead to heaven. It's time that you settle in on your convictions and know what they are and start leading your family towards the cross of Christ and not some half-truth that the enemy is trying to get people to buy into.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.